Zunvecht 13, Mors Media. I was describing the city, Mors Media. It had a wall which looked about 20 meters high and at least 2 thick, great blocks of limestone which had been smoothed and joined so well that it looked like one great line as far as I could see, with a projection at the top so no one could climb over. It was yellow in the afternoon light, almost glowing gold. The gate straddling the road we were on was open, though I could see the doors, great black and gray things with rivets and bands over them. If they'd been closed, I could only imagine the force needed to open them again from the outside. I wondered if I would ever be able to wield such forces. There were towers visible above the wall and above the helmeted heads that I could just about glimpse moving back and forth along the length. Not like the solid, matter-of-fact impossibility of a wizard tower, but something seemingly as impressive, despite being so much smaller. Spires that looked to be made of several towers twined together, or which rose in narrow spikes to pierce the heavens. There was one that was vertical, and yet looked like it ought to be sideways, and another which appeared to be a cornstalk growing out of the skyline. Above them all was a tower swathed in shadow, ominously crooked, as if the builder had decided several times to change direction, and peaked at the top with a skeletal torso and skull, which seemed to loom over the city and all of us on the road.
"Dreadful, isn't it?" Zetek commented, seeing where I was looking. "I keep trying to make us into a respectable species, and then people build something mind-numbingly gauche. The others aren't any better, of course, but they save their most flashy and depressingly representative architecture for their own capitals. Can't overshadow the church in charge."
I looked back at him, and he was regarding the view with stiff-backed disdain, as far as I could see. The illusion had gone, and I still hadn't gotten the knack of reading his subtler moods from his skull alone. I drew breath to remind him, and he waved me away, seeing my concern.
"The illusion is pointless now. The law is that no deception may pass the gate, nor be perpetrated within the walls. Splendidly hypocritical, given how much self-delusion they engage in. I am minded to give my theological lecture here and now, but we haven't got time, and despite my contempt, it would be in poor taste to proselytize for atheism inside a holy city."
We'd nearly reached the gate, and a bored-looking guard, a rather overweight one, I thought, with a skull over a setting sun on his tabard, was going down the line. He knocked on the door of our carriage.
"Name and business, please."
Zetek's eyes blazed so brightly that I thought the carriage might catch fire, and then shrank to nearly invisible pinpricks. He gestured, and the window exploded outward, throwing the guard into the verge. Zetek waited for the poor man to sit up, and then he stuck his head out the window.
"Look at the livery, and then take 3 guesses, pinhead!" he shouted, and then gestured rudely.
He settled back into his seat, and the glass of the window sprang back into place, appearing after a moment as if it had never been broken.
"Towny guards," he grumbled. "I've hated those jumped-up, imbecilic wastes of space since I was alive."
"Won't that cause trouble?" I asked, as the guard scrambled to his feet and ran back to his guardhouse. I thought I saw a wet spot on his trousers, and not where he'd landed on the snowpack. After the terror he'd inflicted on the man, who was just trying to do his job, Zedek's comments on the guard's peaked helmet seemed very unkind.
Zedek's eyes flashed. "I surely hope it does. They asked to see me. I wouldn't mind one bit if this meant that they gave up on this asinine ritual of theirs. I'd like it even more if the fool came back with a squad to try to turn me away or arrest me. Never let them see that you're afraid, Zunvecht. Always be confident, aloof, or even arrogant. Most of the power of a wizard lies in projecting the air that no one is above you and everyone is below you. And if they want to make something of it, then it would be your pleasure to hurl them bodily through the nearest grove of trees and be there to box their ears and kick them in the ghoulies when they land. In all but a handful of cases, you need never fear the question, you and what army?"
That said, actually carrying out the implicit threat is a last resort, because it's usually messy, and people carry a grudge if they think it was personal.
It looks as if we're being let through.
If you had any money to gamble, I'd bet you that they'll take their helmets off when we pass.
They did, which made Zedek an even more insufferable traveling companion. We traversed the straight lanes and radial boulevards towards the center of the city, where all the towers were. I assumed they belonged to the churches.